Good evening. How are you? Good day? Yeah, it's a good day always. All right, why don't we go ahead and take our, let's go over to 445 in our red songbook for Dan. Why don't you come up and lead that, please? 445.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, and excited about that. Especially the young ones, I guess. I'm not so excited. They are when you're young. Good that. And then Linda's missing from the meal the other day. She's missing her oval crock pot lid. So it'd be oval, not round, whatever. Please check it home and bring it back if you have it. Thank you much. And then the wedding coming up, Bethany and Nathaniel. There she is, right there, on November 21st. Exciting times in Dillon Baptist Church. And it's all on the backboard also. And then that's it. All right, we'll take the offering after this third song. So let's go ahead and turn over to 465. 465. Take the offering at the end of this song. 465. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed I came, whirling in a bound. Drinking of the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Living water, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory to the blessed I've tried. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Bring me at the springs of living water. Now am I, my soul is satisfied. Yet this spring of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free. Spirits can't be satisfied. Drink up living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Wonderful and bountiful supply. Yeah, amen. That's good. Blessing to be saved. All right, Dan, lead us in prayer, please.
Lord Jesus, thank you for being able to come to church tonight and on our own free will. And Lord, I do pray that you fill passion with your Holy Spirit. Amen. And just thank you for blessing these songs and blessing these tithes and offerings in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Yes. Amen. Thank you. I sing because I'm happy. Amen. 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 I like that song. I like them all. Amen. Thank you, Star. See you survived. That's my joke of the day. See y'all survived. Amen. He came back. Good evening. Glad you're all here. Hope you're having a good day. Just a few more announcements. October, we have three missionaries in October, and I've said this. Wednesday and the 4th, 18th, and the 25th. A couple other things, and can't read my notes. It says no. November. Okay, on the Wednesday, the 21st, right here. And on Saturday, or Sunday, the following Sunday, is Turkey Day. So Thanksgiving. So we'd like to do the same as we did last year and make it a Friend Day, Salvation Day, Turkey Day. November 22nd, it's my brother's birthday, Dave Kennedy was shot, so we'll preach the gospel, okay? And 21st is my dad's birthday. 21st is also my stepfather's birthday. I got all these things. But, you know, to memorize the Bible, that's a difficult. The spiritual's always the hardest, amen? And you know that. And anyway, so you know if you want to start now, it's what's the date today? The 23rd, so that's 2 months away. Invite someone. We'll start, we'll compile a list like we did last year, I think. Did we have visitors last year? We had a number of visitors, didn't we? Praise the Lord. And so let's remember that. And then January, we'll have a meeting again with some missionaries. I've got one scheduled already, and so we'll have a mini meeting like we did the other day or last week. Wasn't that a good meeting?
Yeah.
Amen. I'll take one testimony tonight. Anybody want to testify about the meeting? No testimonies. Anybody? Even if you weren't here. I'm hard up. Amen. Okay. I thought Brother Welder did a great job, and the messages were great. He also grows on you a little bit, and I just love that. I was thinking about that when the song was being played over here, his eye is on the sparrow, and I looked outside today, and I saw, I think they're cracknels. Is that what they are, those little black ones? Is it cracknel? Those little black birds about that big? I know my Silas shoots them out of their backyard, but oh, shouldn't have said that. PETA, you know, people eating tasty animals, right? Amen. But anyway, I saw him, you know, he said that about how God encouraged him when he saw that, how God takes care. And I was just looking out and I saw those little blackbirds and a couple of little gray. They looked like little dove or some kind of dove. And they were right under the, there's a big a spruce tree right in front of my front door. And I don't know what they're eating that would come off of those trees, man. But they were pecking away, man. They peck away in my backyard. I don't know. I wish they'd get the box elder bugs, but they're not over there. The tree is full of them. But just how God takes care of them. And you're much more value than those sparrows, those birds. Isn't that something? He takes care of us. Been good to us, hasn't he? I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope the service will be a blessing and a help to you as you finish the week out. Take your Bible and go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I started teaching this a week ago or so, right before Brother Welder got here. And I think I brought maybe an introduction to the book, and also went up to preached a message out of verse 3. And yeah. Something like that, maybe. I haven't looked at the notes I've already preached, but I want to read a few verses here tonight, and Paul gets right into it. Excuse me. Notice what he says in verse number 3, where he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia," so that's where he put them. and Timothy to be the pastor, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other what?
Doctrine.
And then I'm going to read some more verses here. Well, no, I think I won't. I think I'll make another comment. But notice he talks about the law and those that misuse the law, and a number of things about that. But right from the get-go, Paul emphasizes doctrine. Notice verse number 10, if you would, please. And just the end of the verse, where he says, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to what?
Sound
doctrine. And so now this is a letter, as you know, to Timothy, and it's called a pastoral epistle. And this is telling him what he ought to expect in the ministry, things how he ought to operate, and what he ought to be teaching. And right away, with his two verses, verse 1 and 2, gives him his introduction and his greeting, and he says right away, I want you to charge some people that they teach no other doctrine. And then he goes into some things about the law, right from the get-go. So you don't ever, you hear doctrine and you hear people criticizing it. Oh, we have so much doctrine. Well, the whole book's doctrine. But, I mean, we're talking about church-age doctrine, and when we talk about this, Apostle Paul being the apostles of the Gentiles, he's the apostle to the uncircumcision, as Jesus Christ was the apostle to the circumcision, or the minister to the Jews. You know that, Romans 15:8 and Romans 15:16. And so, right from the get-go, as I said, Paul starts teaching about sound doctrine. In this particular passage, up to verse number 10, he talks about sound doctrine and the law. And he instructs him on properly teaching sound doctrine. And because there are people that pervert the law, and we'll see that as we go along. And I want you to see, first of all, though, and just as all introduction, because I'm going to major on one verse tonight, but notice that sound doctrine will keep you from fables concerning the law. Notice what he says in verse 4. He says, neither give heed to fables, and I touched on this the other night, and endless genealogies. That's finding out where you came from. Like one guy said, who cares where you came from? It's you need to be concerned about where you're going. And I wrote that in my Bible someplace, yeah. And but they minister questions, it says, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And so he warns them, and sound doctrine will keep you from fables, by the way. And even concerning the law, a fable is a doctrine that is based on fiction, a myth, or a lie. There's numbers of them. Look over here to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and notice verse number 7. And there can be old wives' fables. And notice, and so, you know, he warns them about them again. He says, in verse number 7, well, look at verse number 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, the first five verses up there of this chapter, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Every man that's called of God wants to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And so if you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, you need to put the brethren in remembrance of the things he just spoke about. Now, he said, nourished up in the words of faith and of what?
Good doctrine.
Again, whereunto thou hast attained. And after he says that, then he has another warning about these fables or tales. He said, but refuse profane and old wives what?
Fables.
Well, tales or fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And so there's those lot of old wives fables, fables or tales, they call them. You know, if you touch a toad, you're going to get a wart. You know, that kind of thing. You know, like starve a fever, feed a cold. I don't think if that's the best advice. And you ought to just drink a lot of fluid. Anyway, I'm not your doctor, but there's a lot of those fables, and some of those things have people have put verses to them. Notice over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. People are going to be turned unto these things, and they are in these things. Fables are fiction. Fables are a lie. Fable like a novel. And as they turn their ears away from sound doctrine, notice he says in verse number 3, for the time will come, 4:3 of 2 Timothy, when they will not endure, there it is again, sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers instead of preachers, having itching ears. They'd rather just have a smooth-talking teacher and teach them things other than someone just getting on their nerves a little bit, you know, and pointing the bony old finger toward them. And so that's what's going on today. And notice it says, when they do that, when they will not endure sound doctrine, they shall turn away their ears from what? And that's sound doctrine. The truth, and watch this. And so you don't even turn away from something, you turn to something. And they turn unto, and he says, verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? Sure. Go back here to Timothy in chapter 2. And so people sometimes will, whose ears turn away from the truth, they'll teach that stuff, but then they'll add some verses to it and some philosophies and man's traditions and man's commandments and teach them as a doctrine. Are you here? And some of these things will be said like you've ever heard us, you know that you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues or you're not saved. Anybody ever hear that? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, good. You have. I have too. And right away, right from the get-go, of course, when I got saved, I ran into, we used to go down with my youth group. We'd go down to Fred Meyer's. Fred Meyer's was a big old grocery store and like a Shopko and only a lot bigger. And we'd go down there in the parking lot and just give out tracts, people coming out of the store and do a little preaching and confrontations back in 77, 78. And I'll just forget some gal coming out and said, you aren't saved unless you're speaking tongues or you're baptized in the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And that's when my first dealing with that. So I didn't know a lot of the Bible at the time. So I went back and I got the thing squared away. And it's pretty evident that that's not so. That's a fable. That's a tale. That's false doctrine. Other things, as I brought on last week, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, the perpetual virginity of Mary, all that kind of transubstantiation, which means they take that little wafer, and once they say abracadabra, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, all that kind of stuff, they turn that wafer into the actual flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a fable, that's false doctrine, whatever you want to call it, it's wrong. And it's, again, they use some scripture in that. They'll use maybe John chapter 6 on that. Are you here? Yeah. And so you got that. And so Paul's teaching that. The Jehovah Witnesses. So you're preaching against other people's religion? Yes. Okay. Jesus said, I am the way. The Seventh-day Adventists, they'll teach that Sunday is the mark of the beast. Yeah. How many ever heard of that? Yeah. Not too many. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the 144,000 are going into the kingdom. They're kind of backing off that one now as the population increases. You know? They got these big conventions, and I don't know how many are at them, but they're in New York and Brooklyn where their headquarters are. And then you got the Mormons with their endless genealogies. And they do that so they can find out going back who died so they can baptize them for the dead so they can go to wherever they go when they die. Amen. So you got all that kind of stuff. And then sound doctrine also directs you to the end of the law. Notice in back here to Timothy. He says in verse number 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. I'll come back to that. But also sound doctrine keeps you from misusing the law. Look at verse number 9. We're going to cover all this, not tonight. We'd be here till midnight. And he said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. It's not righteousness does not come by the law. We know that from the scripture. Righteousness is in you, and it's imputed to you by the grace of God when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And one last thing is sound doctrine keeps you properly using the law. Notice he said, it says, knowing that verse number 8, says we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the what? And disobedient. And so all this is sound doctrine concerning the law. Now, I want to draw your attention tonight to verse number 5 and talk about that verse tonight. And it really spoke to my heart, that particular verse. And even though the Apostle Paul is writing this as a pastoral epistle, there's, you know, all scriptures given by inspiration, prophet of God, and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. It's for all of us. All scriptures for all of us, okay? It might not be directed right to us, but certainly if you can't get something out of verse number 5, then boy, your getter is kind of messed up, okay? Because look at that thing, and I think this, I tell you, if we could get here with this verse right here in our life, look at it. And it says, now the end of the commandment, and I'll kind of explain it a little bit, is charity out of a what? And a what? And what? Yeah, real faith. I mean, that's where I want to be. I'd like to be right there. Hey, amen. And so I want to talk to you about tonight and maybe give you a little outline on the excellence of charity. Because it says the end of the commandment is charity. That's love in action. Can I say that? Would that do for you? And that is love exercised. Okay? And so he says the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Unfeigned means real, okay? You know, if you feign something, another word is you fake it. You know, fake it till you make it, you know, that type of thing. And that'd be all good. All those things are good thing. And he says it as the end of the commandment. And notice in verse number, notice verse number 8, we know that the law is good. The law is a commandment. It's the law is the Bible, but the law is a commandment. And he said the end of the commandment is charity. Now that may signify this, the moral law, which I just showed you. Verse 9 and 10, or 10, 9 and 10, yeah. Get it? It may signify the gospel of Christ or the whole of God's revealed will. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Or it may mean that the charge that Paul is giving to Tim, he's charging him this. Notice he says in the end of verse number 3, I want you to, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other. And Paul is charging Timothy to charge people. And a charge is a commandment. Okay. And so it may mean, you know, the charge that the Apostle Paul has given to Timothy as a pastor. But it is, if I could say this tonight, and I think you'd agree with me, that it is true religion. You know when they say a guy got religion? That's what they used to say down south. How many ever heard that? Yeah. Amen. And he got religion. I mean, you just hear all your old Methodist preachers, that's what they always said, like Sam Jones, and down there, and he was out of Alabama, and just others that I've heard over there. And give me that old time what? Religion. Yeah, that old time religion makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody, right? The old time religion, and that just means he got saved. You know, you heard old Joe got religion, I guess. And so it is true religion, whether it's enforced by the law or the gospel. Now, take your Bible and go over here. Hold your place here and go over here alike. The end of the commandment is charity. That's what I'm talking about now. And that's what I'm talking about all together tonight. The end of the law is a commandment is charity. Hey, now abideth faith, hope, and what? And the greatest of these is what? Yeah. You know, what the world needs is love. I can't sing it. I'm off key. But that's okay. But it does. It needs truth. It needs love. It needs mercy and truth. Mercy's love, not getting what you deserve. Amen. And notice he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, here's the law. He said, look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? Are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. I'll wait for you. I know, you got to have the tabs on your Bible. Okay, fine. Now, okay, look at Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book of the Old Testament. Okay, chapter 6, verse number 4. Hey, you don't mind if I tease you a little bit, do you? Come on. I got to tease you a little bit. You need it. You know, look like you had a bad day. And look at verse number 4. He says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, there you are, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And so he's right here, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Look back here to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 22, still in the law, still by the law. Matthew, in the book of Matthew, you have not transitioned over to the church age or being saved by grace through faith and that not of yourselves. But look at Matthew chapter 22, and a lawyer goes up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's tempting him, trying to entangle him in his talk like a lawyers do. Amen. I was called to jury duty, and I can just see me being questioned by one of the attorneys. I can just see it. They're not going to like me. Okay, because I'm conservative, and I'm for law and order. They want to ask me if, and Joel being in the position he is, you know, can police officers be wrong? I said, rarely. Amen. By the way, I'm not telling you what the court case is because I'm going to get excused anyway, but I won't tell you anyway because you're not supposed to, and I said I wouldn't. Right? But they ask you dumb questions. They ask me a question, do you have any bumper stickers on your car? And I said, yeah. I said, what do they say? I'm glad you asked. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, no matter what you were taught. Amen. Amen. But I can just see if I'm being quizzed, you know, because for to be a prospective juror, they're not going to have fun with me. Dean was telling me, he said, you'll be excused just like that. but anyway, that was off the subject, but it's kind of funny. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 36. And it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Remember, we're talking about charity being the end of the commandment. And he said, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And that's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, which we just read. This is the first and great commandment. And just by the way, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so true religion, whether enforced by the law or the gospel, it's alike. And what is it? Charity. The end of the commandment is charity. Now, it's also the gospel. It comes from the gospel. Let me ask you this question tonight. What got us in? The gospel. But what got us in? For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what got us in, is the love of God. Now, you know, and we don't need to turn to the scripture, but the Bible says over there in Romans, I quote it all the time, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That got us in. God, hey, and the verse 8 says, Romans 5, but God commendeth his what? Love toward us, in that we were sinners. Christ died for us. Go over here to Titus chapter 2, if you would, please. 3, Titus, in the New Testament. I'm just saying, the end of the commandment is charity. It got us in. Love got us in. God did something. He commended. He demonstrated. He didn't just say he loved us. He proved. You know, the Bible says, prove the sincerity of your love. He proved his love to us when he gave his only begotten Son, and Christ voluntarily, willingly gave up his life's blood for our sins. And look at Timothy chapter 3, and Paul's talking about his life, and he says in verse 3, for we were ourselves also were sometimes, and most many of us can just put our name right there, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, that the kindness and what? Love our of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he what? Saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Look over here to 1 John chapter 3, to the right, keeping your place in 1 Timothy. I want this in my life. I want to be a charitable, I want to be a loving person. Now, I know ye that love the Lord hate what? Yeah, there are, we ought to be good haters and good lovers. The psalmist said, just to give you a balance on the thing, but I want to stay back on the subject here tonight. The psalmist said in a couple of places, I hate every false way. Nothing wrong with that. I hate it. You know why? Because it sends people to hell. That's why I said some things about the Roman traditions and Roman fables and fiction and lies. Because those things, people are trusting in those things, and they're going to die and go to hell. And but look, notice 1 John chapter 4, I think it's there. Oh, no, chapter 3, excuse me, folks. 1 John chapter 3, just a little Bible study tonight on this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive, we know, the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, then show our love for them. Well, that goes back to Matthew chapter 22. The second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that got us in. And it all starts at salvation. As long as you're right there, look at verse number 23. And this is his what? Commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what? Love one another. As he gave us what? Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Now, let's go back here to, and hold your place in 1 Timothy, but let's go back here to Acts chapter 15. Now, it says charity out of a pure heart, and it all starts when we got saved, okay? Look at Acts chapter 15. Now, watch it. It'll line up with our verse here tonight. Acts chapter 15, and look at, there's a council down there and a meeting down there discussing, hey, guess what? The law. Some people misusing the law. Some people said that you got to get in by keeping the commandments of Moses. And some people said that even those that believe said you got to get circumcised and keep the law of Moses. So you got the law on both ends. You got to keep the one group, keep the law to get saved. The other, you get saved, but you got to keep the law to remain saved. And Paul addresses those, of course, in Romans and also Galatians. But they have that meeting, and here's their conclusion. And notice
Peter getting up and notice that he says in verse number 8, and God, we'll look at verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth, this would be referring back to his meeting with Cornelius in Acts 10, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us, Jews, and them, Gentiles. What now? Purifying their hearts by faith. And that's why he says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a what?
Pure heart.
And you got it at salvation. You got a pure heart. You know what I like about getting born again? And say, you get a new start. You get a new, the slate's clean. You know, I wish I could have kept it all clean. Amen? Son, I wish I could have got just taken out right away. But, but that's what he did. He purified our hearts by faith. And verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And so, go back here to our text here tonight. And Paul says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith untamed. And so that charity emanates, or the source of that that charity is from a pure heart. A pure heart. You know, and you got it when you got saved. The love of God is shed abroad. Come on. Yeah. And so he says, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Look over here to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, you get that, you know, like I said, you get a clean slate, you might say. You get a pure heart at salvation. Hey, purifying their hearts by faith. You getting it? It's good. This is good. I like this. And I liked it. I mean, it just turned me on, man. Amen. It's good. The Bible turns you on. Amen. Get you just wanting to know more Bible. Amen. Getting to know him better and thanking him and praising him and just for what he's done and what he's doing. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number, pick it up in verse number 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Every word of God is pure and good. And in seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, and also purifying your hearts. Right? Back here in Acts. In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now watch it. See that ye love one another with a what?
Pure
heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, you get a pure heart when you get saved. Now, listen, it's very important that we keep it pure. Now, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, but you know, our heart is deceitful. You know, we always want to go there when we talk about the heart, don't we? You know, what does he say? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we always want to go there, and that's okay, but we can be deceived. Even that heart that has been purified can be deceived and led astray. Come on. Yeah, you know that. That's happened in your life. It's happened. And that heart can get dirty. You know what David said? He said, on his confession of sin, he said, create in me a what? Psalm 51:10. Create in me a what? Clean heart. Must have been dirty. And your heart can get dirty. So the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. If that charity is going to be the way it's supposed to be, we need to have a pure heart. Now, how do we do that? Well, confession of sin. Living right, getting into the pure Word of God, washing, having your mind washed and your heart washed. Now, go back here to Timothy. The second thing I say, where he says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. And of a what?
A good conscience.
A good conscience. A conscience that has been purged. Amen. And clean. A good conscience that obeys the conscience. And the more you disobey your conscience, the dirtier it gets. Maybe I might not should use the word dirty, but it gets defiled and it gets, well, that's dirty, but it gets to be a bad conscience, an evil conscience. Let's look at a couple of verses. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, first of all. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. A pure heart and a good conscience go together. Okay? They just go together. And your conscience will tell you when you do wrong, and then you can get your heart right. Heart right? Amen. Is thine heart right as my heart is with thine? And look at first, go over here to Hebrews chapter 9 and pick it up in verse number 14. For if the blood, verse 13, of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the what? Who through the eternal, then he kind of parentheses almost, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. That's kind of because he's, but he, then he continues. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, just go down to the word purge, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So your conscience can be purged. It can be cleansed. And so it's a good conscience by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look over here to chapter 10, same book, chapter 10. In chapter 10, notice what he says in verse number 2. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Are you there? Hebrews 10, 22? What did I say? Oh. The way it goes. You know, when you say a lot of words, you're going to mess up once in a while. And how many words have I said so far, John? Aren't you cute? Well, he's got all the computer up there, you know. But when you say a lot of words, you're going to mess up. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Just so I don't mess up and teach something wrong. I've said, anyway. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true what?
Heart
in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an what?
Evil
conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So a conscience in your heart and a pure heart and a good heart go together. Notice over here to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, back a few books. And Titus chapter 1. And so... It's your pure heart, which we ought to keep once we get. I mean, we got it. We got saved. We need to keep it sharp, keep it pure, is regulated by a good conscience. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because your conscience tells you when you do wrong. Amen. So you can get it right. And so... But that time, that you got to watch it, because your conscience can notice in verse number 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. So you can get really messed up. But even their mind and conscience is what?
It's made dirty.
Notice chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go back here to Timothy. The end of a commandment is charity out of a pure heart. No, I want that life. I want that. I want to have charity. I want to keep my heart pure so I can get, and love people the right way. God loved me, and he still loves me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And speaking lies in what? That's the next thing we're going to talk about. In hypocrisy, having their conscience, what? Seared. With a hot iron. That means it's cauterized. You ever have a your nose cauterized and, you know, get a bloody nose or get a wound cauterized? You used to take a, if they didn't have anything else, they'd just take a knife or something and get the thing red hot. And then put it on that thing, and that would stop the bleeding. It hurt like the devil, you know? But you know what? If you got scars on your body, the guy I told you gave me a bunch of shots the other day, and some of the, I've had my bunch of stuff cut open, okay? And he gave me a shot, and I'd hardly felt it. He said, why? I'm going into your scar tissue. And he said, the next time it's going to hurt more. Because he's trying to get rid of some of the scar tissue in me, because some of my stuff is pulling away, and kind of patches they've put in me, it's pulling away, and it hurts. Okay, I'm a little wimp, you know, but it hurts. And let me try it on you, okay? Put something on there. And so it's supposed to dissolve the stuff and whatever, heal me up. Anyway, and you put that needle in on a scar, so that's like a guy's conscience. Doesn't bother him anymore. It's seared. It's cauterized. And just like when you get calluses on your hand, you know, first time you go out there and hoe in the year, boy, you get blisters all over, but keep it on. You get some big old calluses on that thing, and you don't feel it anymore as much anymore. Now, notice, he says that some people's mind and conscience there is seared with a hot iron. Go back here again to Timothy. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Lord, help us to keep a pure heart and a good conscience. Help us, Lord, to keep our conscience sharp and good so it can hear you, so it convict me. And when I do wrong, Romans chapter 2, accusing or else excusing. And then genuine faith. This charity has to have genuine faith. Notice what he says. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience, of a good conscience, and of faith what? Unfeigned. That's Galatians 5, 6 says, in Christ, Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Your faith is to be unfeigned. Don't be a phony. And it happens. Our conscience gets warped, and then our love is feeble. Hello? Our love is feeble. It's not where it should be. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. And when faith is fake and a make-believe, it can't be as effective. Our charity, our love in action, our love toward others, loving God, loving our brothers, it cannot be as God would have it to be. Now, the context of this whole thing is false teachers. 1 Timothy 1. Verses 3-11, and they had wicked hearts. The Pharisees had wicked hearts. They had bad consciences, and they were hypocrites. Therefore, look back here to 1 Timothy chapter 1, they were utterly incompetent to be teachers of the law. And they don't understand it. They don't understand it. And if they don't understand it, they cannot teach it properly. Because they didn't have a pure heart. Because they did not have a good conscience. because they did not have real faith, genuine faith. Notice in verse number 6. Let's read verse 5 again. And I'm finishing up here. He says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Is that a colon? I got that verse circled. Is that a colon or semicolon?
Colon.
So he's not done. And he said, from which some having what?
Swerved.
That's the only time that word's in the Bible. And from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. I was going to go over to Dean's shop, or I got some in the garage. But you ever hear a chain rattling? And I bring it up for illustration, but the thing's about 10 feet long over there. But that's what they sound. It's just foolish talking, silly talking, and you can't understand what they're saying. He says, from which some, well, what? Having swerved. From what? The end of that commandment. Charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. They swerved. Hey, you know what swerving is? You're going down here, I think, sad to say, some guy, was in a lot of accidents happen this way. And you know that if they want to try to miss a deer or something, they swerve. And then that wheel turns this way, and then that just kind of gets the centrifugal force, if that's what it's called. And that car rolls over. The guy don't have a seatbelt on. You know, normally they get thrown out. And they swerve off the road. And he says, from which some having swerved have turned aside. They ran off the road. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. They got off the way. They got off the right path. By the way, when they do that, they make shipwreck of others. They swerve, they turned aside. And sound doctrine will prevent those things. Listen, tonight, what we ought to do, what you ought to do, what I ought to do, is look to the state of your heart. Is it clean? Consult your conscience. Is there something up there that's convicting me about some sin of omission or some sin of commission? And then examine your faith. Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be what? In the faith, if you got real faith. And that's what we are. And that ought to be a daily thing. It ought to be a daily thing. Or we might swerve aside. Yeah. We might swerve aside. And then we won't have the proper, if we don't let these things, that good conscience, the pure heart and the faith, and real faith, true faith, and genuine faith, then we won't love like we should. It'll be kind of plastic. Is that right? Cosmetic instead of real. It won't be as effective. It'll be weak. Something to think about. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I thank you for the Bible tonight. I thank you for this passage. And Lord, I want to live like this. I want to have a pure heart. You purified it at salvation, and we let the world get in, carnality, just plain old sin, this or that. We could name sins. We let a lot of them in.